So hello and welcome to Lunch Bites with myself, Cherie Russell. And today I thought I'd talk a little bit about difficult conversations, especially as we've got Christmas coming up. So it could be difficult conversations with family members, or it can be difficult conversations at work. So one of my favorite NLP presuppositions is that the meaning of the message is what the receiver understands, not necessarily what the sender intends. So it's what the receiver hears that's important. You could have said something with an intention, a positive intention, but the sender, the receiver, is always filtering through their experience of the world. It might be family, social, and cultural scripts and roles. So in actual fact, just like our other senses, we only ever notice what we're looking for. So what kind of emotional blocks based on those roles and scripts are attitudes that might prevent you from listening? So I'm just going to run through a few, and you might notice some that are relevant to you or recognize patterns within your family. And these will lead you to make a little more discovery about yourself. So, emotional blocks that prevent you from listening. The need to be right, where you're preoccupied with proving your point instead of listening to the other person's perspective. Blame. You believe the problem is someone else's fault and you're completely innocent. And the problem with blaming someone else is that it prevents you from taking any responsibility or agency in the situation or finding the solution yourself. And then there's a need to be a victim, to feel sorry for yourself and feel that others are treating you unfairly, although you fail to be assertive and make your needs known. So that need to be a victim can actually stop you from presenting your point of view, again, from taking agency in the solution. And then there's self-deception, where you just fail to see the impact of your behaviour on others, or you don't want to, or it's not important to you. You don't care about hurting other people's feelings, or don't think that you possibly could. And then defensiveness, where you're fearful of criticism and have the need to argue just to defend yourself. And then coercion sensitivity, where you're afraid of being controlled or dominated, and so you become resistant to other people's perspective. Or you might be demanding. You feel that you're entitled to better treatment from others and get frustrated when those demands aren't met. That entitlement syndrome. And another emotional block that can prevent you from listening is selfishness. You just throw a tantrum when you don't get what you want, and you're not interested in other people's thoughts and feelings. Or you might be mistrustful. You believe you're always taken advantage of and put a barrier to listening to the thoughts and feelings of others. And the last one is help addiction. You feel the need to problem solve for others and tell them what to do. So some of those might have touched a button. You might notice those in family members or work colleagues. And actually, all you need to do is to become aware that those are your particular emotional blocks. And then you might find that just being aware, you can then find solutions and come to other, draw other conclusions to work around it. So what about the emotional blocks that prevent you from expressing your feelings? Well, there's fear of conflict or ostrich syndrome. You're afraid of angry feelings or conflicts with others. And that you may believe that people with good relationships shouldn't argue, or that the people you care about would be hurt or upset if you spoke your mind. Then there's emotional perfectionism, that you believe you should always be rational and in control of your emotions, and that to have feelings like anger, jealousy, depression, fear or anxiety actually exposes you as weak and vulnerable. But the fact is that we're all human. And then there's fear of rejection or disapproval, where you're so afraid of ending up alone that you'd rather put up with an unhappy or uncomfortable situation than take the chance of someone being mad at you. You've become a people pleaser and feel others wouldn't like you if you expressed your own thoughts or feelings. And then sulking. You bottle up and hold your hurt and angry feelings inside instead of sharing them honestly and openly. And then try and make others feel guilty with the silent treatment. And then last but no means least, hopelessness. Where you're so convinced that your relationship can't improve, no matter what you do, that you just give up. You might have already tried everything you know and are stuck. You simply believe that the other person just won't change. And so you don't look for solutions. And this can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So in a moment, I'm going to move on to a very powerful technique called the disarming technique, which actually I was taught in the holiday industry. And you can use this in your interpersonal relationships as well as your business relationships. But first of all, I just want to cover some sneaky ways that people use to turn a discussion into winning an argument. So here are a few, and again, these might resonate with you, and it's really useful to be able to recognize them and notice when it's being used on you. And then as soon as you recognize them, you can just step back emotionally and decide how to deal with it. So the first one is to ridicule and humiliate, to really get personal. So kind of what would the antidote to that be is to recognize that this is just a technique that's being used against you and to step back and depersonalize it. And those kind of people then might try and provoke you by more personal comments or accusations. So once again, you just step back and recognize that actually that isn't the discussion. They are just using a strategy to get you, probably without even realizing it. Remember, a lot of these strategies are learnt as we're growing up, very often within families or within our friends or school. And people don't realize that they're doing these things until they come to conscious attention. Another one is to distract you from the original discussion, or to deflect, to say, yes, but what about? And that's a very good strategy if it then becomes personal, because it then becomes very emotional and you can get caught up in the emotional thing. So that distract and deflect, the antidote to that would be to say something like, yes, okay, I understand what you are here, what you're saying. We'll talk about that another time. What I want to talk about is this now. And keep bringing it back on point, because people that use this distract and deflect technique are very good at it. It works very well for them. And then the last sneaky way to turn a discussion into an argument, to win, in order to win, is to exaggerate the other person's position. So they blow up your concerns out of all proportion. They magnify it so it appears ridiculous and then they can belittle it. So that's another little trap just to watch out for. So now I'm just going to go on to the disarming technique. As I say, this is really useful to know. Once you've recognized the sneaky ways that people have of drawing something into an emotional argument, and you can step back and step more into your power, the disarming technique works like this. So step one, you acknowledge. You let them know that you've heard them. In other words, you can say something like, I hear what you say. And step two is truth. Find some truth in what the other person is saying, even though you might feel at this point it's unfair, unreasonable, or wrong. They always have the right, or they always have something right to some extent. So you could say, yes, you're right. I understand how you could be frustrated about that. And then step three is empathy. Empathize. Put yourself in the other person's shoes and see things through their eyes. Listen carefully and paraphrase what you understand they're thinking. So almost say back to them to clarify your understanding. So something like, it sounds like you mean, or this is happening. Do I understand that correctly? And then step four is inquiry. So this is where you can ask gentle, probing questions to learn a little bit more about the other person's perspective and about what they're thinking and feeling. Step five is where you dissociate. You step back from the emotional. You separate the issue from the person, if possible, and you keep things impersonal. You don't criticize or condemn them personally. Step six is express your feelings. So if you feel angry or attacked, express your feelings with a non-challenging phrase, something like, I feel. Statements don't strike back, get defensive or argue, just don't do it. So you could say something like, when you say X, I feel Y. Not, you make me feel. So you have to separate your feelings from the original action. And then number seven, show you care. So reassure the other person that you respect them and they're important to you. Even if you're angry or disagree at that moment, you want to work the problem out in a mutually agreeable way. So show them that the relationship is not on the table. It's not jeopardizing the relationship. This is just about the issue, and that you care enough about them to actually resolve the issue. And that's step eight, resolve. Work together to resolve the issue. And this could involve putting practical measures in place or simply to continue to communicate in order to reach agreement on an issue. So you see how those eight steps, acknowledge, find the truth, empathy, inquiry, dissociate, take the emotional sting out of the tale, express your feelings, show you care and resolve, are actually a very good process to reach a mutually agreeable conclusion without the emotional side of things, without it descending into an argument. So there we are. That is my thoughts on that for today. If anybody would like to talk about something that's going on for them, whether it's personal, whether it's business, then I'm always here to take a call and arrange a session to talk it through and help when I can. So thank you. And I'll catch up with you soon.